The data is going to drive that management decision. So,
very good. Thank you, Secretary. Any final comments or questions? Very good. Thank you for that information. Job well done. We do have three items left on our agenda. What I'd like to do is allow us a 10-minute break, and then we will come back and finish up today's meeting. We are back on live. Welcome back, everybody. We got three items remaining on our agenda. We'll start number 24, Bobcat Management and Action Plans. Chad Lehman is joining us online, I'm guessing. There we go. Chad, we can see you, so you can go ahead and start whenever you're ready.
All right, Madam Chair. Chad Lehman, Senior Wildlife Biologist for South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I've also shared my screen. Can you see that okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Madam Chair, Commission, Secretary Roebling, good morning. I'm very happy to share the Bobcat Action Plan with everyone this morning. You know, this is the first Bobcat plan that's ever been put together and built for the conservation of this important species. And the reason for that is Bobcat survival and ecology is incredibly limited, not only in South Dakota, but in North America. And we did have harvest data, current harvest data going back to 1973, which of course we've utilized, and that's important, but we really didn't have good information on their ecology and survival rates until starting in about 2008 with a master study, West River and in the Black Hills. That continued on with another research project from 2013 to 2016. And then we've just completed a more recent study in the Black Hills from 2016 to 2022. And that really is the bulk of the information that we utilized in building our harvest strategies that I'm going to highlight here today for you in this action plan. But before I dive into the strategies, I'm just going to discuss briefly a little bit about, you know, the distribution of bobcats. They're the most commonly distributed native felid in North America. And as you can see there in that distribution, there's 12 different subspecies that have been identified across the vast area in which they are distributed. And as I mentioned previously, you know, there really has not been a lot of information collected on their population dynamics. There was a pretty extensive study done in Idaho in the 80s. And in that study, they found that adult female survival had the largest effect on population growth, more so than female reproduction. And really, there has not been a very study intensive research with bobcats until this more recent Black Hills study that we did from 2016 to 2022, where we studied adult female survival for quite a bit of time there. And then we also studied kitten survival from 2021 through 2023. And what we found in that research is that certainly adult female survival was critically important for bobcat population growth. But what we also discovered was kitten survival, and particularly the portion of kitten survival occurring from 91 days to 365 days, or the juvenile portion of kitten survival, was really important as well for population growth. And what's great about that is we're able to tie that in then with our juvenile to adult harvest data that we collect annually. So we've got a really good critical piece of information that we can utilize from our annual harvest data that does indicate where we maybe are at with recruiting those kittens and then those juveniles into our populations. As I mentioned, we've got current harvest data going back to 1973. We vary greatly in our harvest from a low of 62 up to 934 cats being harvested. Since 2013, we've done a statistical population reconstruction, which is a statistical way of getting a population abundance estimate for our statewide population. And our population has varied from roughly 1,300 animals, up to 2,700 bobcats. And the percentage of harvest has varied from 11 to 18%. So I'm going to dive into the harvest strategies that are presented in the action plan here. What we did is we used a combination of genetic structure, geographic area, and then the demographic characteristics of bobcats from each one of three management zones. In that figure there, we've got the Black Hills Bobcat Management Zone, West River Zone, and the East River Zone. Within each one of those zones, then we could implement a harvest strategy, one of two strategies. The first one is to be a moderate harvest, which is our 52-day season that allows for unlimited bobcat harvest per trapper or hunter. This current strategy is being utilized right now in our West River and Black Hills management areas. And then the second potential strategy then would be the low harvest strategy, which is a 52-day season that allows for harvest of only one bobcat per trapper or hunter. And this is the current strategy that we're using in the East River zone. Diving into more specifics here within the Black Hills, as I mentioned, we have really strong research information from this Black Hills study that we just conducted. And so what we could do in this zone, when we're looking at those two potential strategies, is look at that juvenile to adult harvest ratio. And the one thing that we found was, is when kitten survival is poor and we're not recruiting many juveniles and yearlings into the population, that harvest ratio is also going to be incredibly low. So if that ratio falls below 10% for two or more consecutive years, that zone, the Black Hills zone, will enter into a low harvest strategy. Now, managers have the flexibility to use a more conservative strategy, the low harvest strategy, even if that zone does support a moderate harvest strategy, such as greater than or equal to 10% juvenile to harvest, or if we have research data that demonstrates lambda or growth rates are greater than one. We also have some data from the West River Zone, as I mentioned, some older studies that were conducted out there. And we were able to use that information in another matrix projection growth model. And in this table here, we've got some information from those studies, as well as the juvenile to adult harvest ratio and a potential harvest rate. And so if you plug in those numbers into that table, for instance, if we go with a moderate adult survival rate, and if we go with a harvest rate of 5%, you can go across those two values. And right there in the middle, if you go at 10 juveniles per 100 adults, you'll be at a lambda growth rate of 0.98 or just below that stable growth rate. And so one of the things we recommended that managers could utilize within this zone then is you could plug in those values. And then if the juvenile recruitment rate is below 10%, we'd have a pretty good indication then that population is not doing very well and could be a negative growth rate. Although we've left this the language here is not quite as firm, and we've put in there that they could enter into a low harvest strategy. So we've given the managers some more flexibility within the West River zone. And then lastly here, the East River zone, research in this zone has been limited. We did have a study over there where they did a infrared camera study looking at the spatial patterns of bobcats in Charles Mix and Brule counties. And what they found was is cats are really limited there to those woodland and shrubland patches. And in this, highly fragmented cropland area, you're just not going to find as many bobcats in this type of habitat. And so we suggest keeping the East River zone currently in that low harvest strategy. Now, that doesn't preclude us from obviously collecting demographic information in East River. And then maybe if we do have a growing population, we could look at some other, a different strategy in that zone. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of work that goes into developing these plans. We have a stakeholder group. The members there are listed that help provide input into this process. A lot of work went into it internally with our staff. And of course, the research information that has come going back to 2008 with the universities and the grad students has been critically important for us to develop the product that's in front of you today. And with that, I'd like to entertain any questions.
Very good. Any questions for Chad on the Bobcat management and action plans or comments? Seeing none at this time, thank you for putting this together. I know we've got some good information before us, and if any additional questions or questions pop up, we can certainly circle back. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Oh, yes, Director.
Tom Kirschman, Director of Wildlife Division. I'd just like to make one follow-up comment of the three action plans that were just presented to you. A lot of time, effort, and resources go into this. I want to thank all the staff for putting these plans together. As you all know, these are guidance documents for you as the commission, us as an agency, to utilize moving forward for the management of these various species. The key part that I wanted to mention is these were presented to you as information items right now. We're going to obtain, obviously, some additional public input. People can read these. We'll have them out there. We'll take those comments, include those types of comments, suggestions, recommendations, and then we will come back to you to ask for your action on these to approve them to move forward for implementation. So I just want to remind all the commissioners, there's still going to be opportunity to get public input on these, and then we'll ask for action from you in the commission meetings moving forward. So just as a reminder, thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that. And with that,